Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Bald eagles. There are plenty of ways to see them in Connecticut. And that is what we are going to be talking about today on Spotlight Connecticut. Hello there, I'm Morgan Cunningham. But before we get to that, it is our opening news segment, and here's what's happening. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz needs your help, and this shouldn't be anything political. You're going to hear Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz, and you're going to say Morgan's getting political, but no, I'm really not. We are respecting and honoring World War II vets in Connecticut, and she needs your help in doing so. She needs your help because you guys have your boots on the ground and you've got your ears in your communities and you have friends and family in communities across Connecticut. And it's that network of people that she needs in finding living World War II veterans for a ceremony that the state of Connecticut is going to be holding to honor them on Monday, May 19th, 2025 at 11 in the morning. I did have the chance to get her thoughts on the ceremony this week, why it's important, how you can help, and how you can get involved in finding those vets for her office so we can get them involved, as many of them as we can, for the ceremony. So far, she's been searching now for about 2 weeks. So far, she has found about 100 of these brave vets for the ceremony. And that is remarkable. That in 2 weeks' time, again, that network that I'm talking about, you being involved in the community and knowing a friend and that friend knowing a friend, and it leads you to one family member who says, yeah, my great-great-grandfather was in World War II, and here's how you get in touch with him, and I can help you get in touch with him. That's how this all works. That's how this network functions. And Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz is here to tell us a little bit more about it. I captured her thoughts this week.
The World War II Museum in New Orleans estimates that we have in Connecticut about 1,200 living World War II veterans. Sadly, every day we may be losing some of them. So before it's too late, and to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II, we are hosting an event at the Hartford Armory, right near the Capitol. We're going to be celebrating all living World War II veterans. I led an effort to honor World War II veterans by town during 2008 through 2010. And I had the opportunity to visit 140 towns across Connecticut, and we honored more than 15,000 living World War II veterans. So you can see that between 2010 and now, we've lost thousands of them. I met Angelo Bartolotta, who is he just turned 100. He is a World War II veteran who lives in Middletown. And here is a man who was at the second wave of Normandy, of the Normandy invasion, and also was at the Battle of the Bulge. And
wow,
lived to tell the story. And when you meet him and shake his hand, you think he's 70. So we all want to be like Angelo when we grow up. I always tell people, you can honor the people in your family who've put their lives on the line for the democracy that we have in this country, for the freedom to speak as we choose, to do what we choose, to worship as we choose. You can honor a veteran by making sure you vote and that you are engaged in our democracy. I'm going to give you the web address for a Google form that you can fill out, and it's at bit.ly, so bit.ly/CTWW2, and you'll get a form, and if you could put the name of the person or the names of the people that you know, the branch of service, the age, the town where they live, that would be fantastic. You can also call your mayor or first selectman and let them know, because mayors and first selectmen are also gathering this information and giving it to our office. I would invite the public to come out and meet and see these wonderful people. The event to honor living World War II veterans in Connecticut is going to take place May 19th at 11 a.m. at the William O'Neill State Armory, 360 Broad Street in Hartford. And we want to invite everyone. You should know that in addition to our Department of Veterans Affairs and our National Guard, there will also be representatives from the British and the French government there to say thank you to our veterans, and we will be presenting World War II victory medals to the ladies and gentlemen who will be there.
I hope that you can help with that effort. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz asking for the public's help in finding living World War II veterans in Connecticut for the ceremony that she will be holding Monday, May 19th, 2025, at the Armory in Hartford. Remember, in case that it is too hard for you or you didn't jot down that link, I know it's not the easiest link, so you can just simply reach out to your mayor's office or your first selectman's office and say you're trying to help with the Lieutenant Governor's World War II ceremony, and they'll be able to direct you accordingly. Again, they've already found 100 people, just over 100 people for this. And the New Orleans World War II Museum estimates that in Connecticut, there might be as many as 1,200 survivors across the state. We've got to get them all together as best as we can, because every time, I don't know about you, but every time there's one of these ceremonies, whether it's here in the United States or overseas in Europe, last year, think about D-Day, I always think to myself that it could possibly be the last time that they get together, that we have a chance to honor them, respect them, and learn from them too. So that's definitely important. Remember, the World War II commemoration and ceremony for living World War II veterans in Connecticut, Monday, May 19th, 2025. Get in touch with your mayor or your first selectman. In our other Spotlight Connecticut headlines on this Saturday afternoon, we are expecting snow tonight into Sunday morning. Next week, there might be a storm on Thursday as well. In any case, did you hear this week the city of Marinin came out and talked about how much these storms cost them? They're the first city to make noise about it, sometimes when we have a really busy winter or we have a few blockbusters or a lot of these smaller storms, which is the case this year, this season, there's always at least one city, usually a few, that come out and say, oh, we're almost at the end of our budget, something along those lines. And Meriden is the first to do so this year. They're not at the end of their budget, but they have spent 75% of it. They allotted $500,000 to storm cleanup for this season. And I wonder if we had had some busy winters in recent years, if they would put more into that. I don't know. But they have so far spent 75% of it. They expect that it should be enough, but possibly by the end of the storm season, they may be spending upwards $600,000 instead, so a little over budget. But that's something that we've got to monitor now because we've been having a lot of these smaller storms and cities and towns across Connecticut might not be able to make it. They might be stretching it. And so that's something that we might be hearing in the coming weeks. Meriden, 75% of their winter budget roughly spent so far and dealing with the winter storms. And we have more on the horizon. But in addition to the snow, Connecticut's cold weather protocol is going into effect. And I always tell people about this because there are vulnerable people across Connecticut, people whose homes might not be as well heated. Perhaps they're homeless and they should get out of those frigid temperatures, single digits in the forecast this coming week. And with wind involved and factored in, you can expect it will feel like it's below zero. So you can call the state's hotline. It is 211 to get the help that you need in getting out of the cold weather forecast this week. That is 211 or 211CT.org. Our featured guest this week on Spotlight Connecticut is Lucy Walker. She's from the Chepauk River Dam Bald Eagle Viewing Site in Southbury. I had the chance to go there very recently. Went there with mom and dad. We had a lot of fun. It's family friendly. It's single person friendly. You just have to have some decent eyes and a little patience and you'll dial in the eagles. What's with bald eagles in Connecticut? Are they making a comeback? Are they healthy? And how can you see them? I had the opportunity, and it was all my mother's idea. Sometimes these things, you know, mom will get an idea from somewhere and she'll say, we should go do that. And that was the case. Me, mom, and dad, we all went out to Southbury, where at the Chepauk Dam, there is a bald eagle viewing site. And it's not open a ton. This isn't something you could do any day of the week, any hour that you so choose, really. They have designated times for this. They have guides to help you along and spot the eagles, which is not necessarily easy, may I add. It sounds simple. And I expected it to be easy. I expected to just kind of stand up there on the hill and be like, oh, yeah, there's an eagle. There's one. There's another. But it does take a little effort. But it was really a neat experience to see nature in that way. And from the site is Lucy Walker. Lucy, hi. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Morgan. Thanks for having me.
You know, it was really nice to meet you up there in Southbury. I'm just curious. Let's just get started with some of the basics here, and then we can take it from there as we go through the hour, Lucy. Where did your interest in, maybe it's just watching birds in general or watching eagles and nature, where did that begin for you?
Well, I guess I can say I've always been an animal lover person. I've always had pets. Birding was something I kind of started way back in the 90s with the Cornell citizen science movement, where they sent you a whole kit on birding and how to identify birds, and that's how I got started with birding. And then in 2001, Connecticut Audubon put out a request for volunteers to come volunteer at Chepauk Eagle View, and I've been there ever since.
There are a number of other volunteers up there. So, you know, so many people sharing the same passion and able to give back to the community in that way. It was pretty cool.
Yes, we've had a lot of volunteers there that have been with us for a long time. And the combination of bird knowledge is amazing.
So when somebody goes there, I guess the first thing that they need to know is that this isn't a site that you could go to at any time. From what I understand, it's just open 2 days a week and weather permitting. And also it's seasonal, December to early March, right?
Correct. Yes, correct. We're open from around Christmas time to mid-March, and we're actually open on Wednesdays as well. So Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And Wednesdays is a great day when we have school groups or senior groups that come and visit us.
The first thing that I didn't know what to expect, actually there were a few things, and we'll talk about them through the hour here on Spotlight Connecticut. My guest, Lucy Walker, she is from the Chepauk Dam Bald Eagle Viewing Site in Southbury. Something really to check out if you're just joining us and you're interested in seeing bald eagles in Connecticut. I didn't know, Lucy, how close we'd be able to get. It seems like we're a good distance away. Is that just to make sure that we're not interrupting their habitat?
Correct. Yes, when Chepauk was initially, when this observation area was initially established, they did some studies to determine the safe distance that we can get as close as we can to the bald eagles, but not stress them. Winter is a very stressful time for these birds, and so we wanted to make sure that we weren't causing any additional stress for them. And that's how that distance was determined. We're about 1,000 feet from the river.
1,000 feet, wow. It actually seems like we're a little closer than that, so you've got me fooled.
Yeah, well, we're up on a little hill, so it does seem like we're closer. But we do get to see them. Sometimes they fly right over us, so we do get to see some really cool flyover, close flyovers.
When somebody's up there, they're on the hill, the other thing that I expected, as I mentioned introducing you, I expected it to be easy to spot these eagles. Not necessarily.
No, not necessarily. Especially if they're immature eagles. And what we mean by that is it takes them 5 years to get that white head and white tail. So an immature eagle is going to be a variation of brown and white, and they just blend right into the environment. And it's hard to find them sometimes.
Your team's kind of the expert on finding the eagles and also teaching people how to use the binoculars, what direction to look at. Okay, if you find this particular pine tree, turn just slightly to the right and look for this dead pine tree and go all the way up to the top, follow it up to the top, and there's the eagle. So my question to you, if you're able to help people like me not really knowing what to look for or how to look for it, I would imagine that you guys have really trained eyes. So when you show up at the site in the morning for the first time, what do you guys typically do or look for? Because nobody's there to teach you or show you where the eagles are.
Correct. It's through experience. So there are some trees that are their favorite perches. And that kind of changes season to season. But the first thing we do is we scan those perches that we've seen them in the past. And a lot of those places, we've named them. So that way, I can quickly say, hey, there's a bald eagle in the V tree. And all my other volunteers will know exactly what I'm talking about and where to look for it, which then they can then help visitors find that as well.
Are you guys able to get decent pictures, you know, from that distance, obviously from the safe distance? You know, do you guys have special cameras or anything, or are you guys, you yourselves, the volunteers, are you kind of desensitized at this point where it's like, okay, you know, I've taken a million pictures of the birds, you know, because I myself wanted to take pictures, and all these other people, they wanted to take pictures, and it's a little tough to get a shot of them, a good shot.
Yes, exactly, because of the distance. We do have some volunteers that are great photographers. I myself don't consider myself a photographer. But what's interesting is with the new technology, we can take the cell phone and we can put it up to the scope and get a picture through the scope. And that actually works out pretty well.
Oh, that's neat.
And that's been a lot of fun. You have to have a steady hand. But we've gotten some good shots by doing that.
I don't know if that's for me, Lucy. I tried my best with my cell phone.
Right.
Now, Lucy, before we get into the break, And of course, we're going to continue to dig into this a little bit more. I want to know about why this dam, why the eagles go there, and all those kinds of things, and the health of eagles in 2025 in Connecticut. Just let people know real quick the best way to get in touch with your team and get information on a tour. I believe it's through Facebook. That's one way.
Yes. Facebook, Bald Eagles is our page. On that page, you can find a link to our reservation page, and it's free to come visit us. We just require a reservation so that we can limit the number of people at the site because it's not a very large site.
And you can do so at the Chepauk Dam Bald Eagle Viewing Site that is in Southbury, Connecticut. I was there not recently, made a day of it with Mom and Dad exploring Southbury, hung out there at the Chepauk Dam for about 45 minutes, I think. It was a cold, cold day. If it were a little warmer, maybe we would have been there a little bit longer. But we had the chance to see two bald eagles that day. And from the site with us is Lucy Walker. I think they were there this morning. Lucy, how many eagles have you usually been seeing there at the site every time you've been there?
Well, Morgan, today we had four eagles. We had two adult eagles and two immature eagles.
Nice.
And I would say that we've been seeing, our high count this season has been eight, but we've been seeing anywhere between four and six eagles pretty regularly.
Give me an idea, Lucy, if you could, the history of the eagle and Connecticut, because if we went way back in time, we might not have seen those eagles in the state.
Correct. So, as everybody, you know, might know, that the bald eagle was on the endangered list for quite some time. And thankfully, it is a great success story for no longer on the endangered list. But in the state of Connecticut, from the 50s to the 90s, we had no breeding pairs. And that made that the only eagles that we would see in the state were during the wintertime, as bald eagles from the northern states start traveling south looking for open water to fish, because fish is their primary diet. And that's how Chepauk Eagle View came to be. They discovered that at the base of the Chepauk Dam, there was always open water, and the bald eagles discovered it. And back in 1885, between the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the Connecticut DEEP, and at that time it was Northeast Utilities that owned the facility, they created the Chepauk Eagle View, a great opportunity for the public to see this beautiful bird, which is the symbol of our country, and to also protect the site and allow the bald eagles to continue to travel there during the winter and find food and shelter during the stressful time of the winter.
Definitely a stressful time for the eagles, and they like to keep things easy. I remember you said that when we were at the site, that they don't want to work harder than they have to, so they want to go where that food supply is and stay in that area. Is Connecticut alone in this effort? Like, if you went to New York or Massachusetts or Rhode Island, you know, are we going to find these kinds of eagle sites there that are protected and we know roughly where the eagles will be because of that food supply? Or is Connecticut unique in that way?
I think this is a unique site where, that we're very protective of the site, you know. So when visitors come there, we make sure that they're not going to be wandering off or getting, they're meant to stay in a certain area. They're meant to stay within the building. But in other states, I don't think there really is a spot that's similar to what we do. Of course, you can go up and down the Housatonic River, the Hudson River, and find pockets of bald eagles,
right,
along as well as the Connecticut River. You can find pockets of bald eagles. But there's not going to be a spot where there'll be an observation area and volunteers pointing them out and lots of information that you get to learn about the bald eagle.
Like down in Essex, and maybe because it's a little more central to the state, there are people that like to go along the Connecticut River and try to spot the pockets of eagles that there might be. I know Essex, again, Windsor is another place that's kind of popular these days for the eagles. But good luck. I mean, you're going to be kind of dealing with some tough terrain, and maybe you have to get on a boat to try to see one. Your site is far more convenient, and I'm not trying to advocate it or sell it one way or the other. It just is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Connecticut River, you know, certain sites like Essex, it's pretty wide, you know, so it might be difficult to see a bald eagle. There are a lot of great parks along the Connecticut River that you can stop and look. But again, they're not going to be right there on the shore, you know, close. Just like at Chepauk, they're not going to necessarily be really.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Be close. But we know where they are, and we know where you can see them.
There's a level of predictability here in a sense that, okay, it's the winter months. Other bodies of water are frozen or semi-frozen. And here's this dam on Chepauk, and it's running, and therefore the water down below does not freeze, and they can get in and get their food. So there's a level of predictability there in knowing that at some point they're going to be in that area. But Lucy, just how predictable is it? You know, one day you might have one eagle, the next you'll have eight. You might not see them for 2 hours. So is that predictable? Like, can you predict their trends, when they're going to show up and how long they're going to stay?
Sometimes, you know, we always tell people, you know, the reason why we're open from 9 to 1, so we're not even open the whole day, is because the morning time is the most active. And so we always tell people, get there as early as you can, because they're going to be the most active. And they come to this dam because they know there's going to be open water. Right now, there's a lot of frozen reservoirs and lakes. The bald eagle will continue traveling south looking for open water to fish. Fish is their primary diet, even though they will eat carrion, you know, and they will go after other sources, like they'll go after a duck. We see that quite often at Chepauk as well. So it is somewhat predictable that we're going to see an eagle. We've seen an eagle every day that we've been open. We've seen at least three eagles this season.
Nice, nice. Now, these eagles, have you ever seen them, so to speak, go in for the kill? They swoop down, they grab their fish. Do you guys see that often, or are they just kind of hanging up in the treetops?
We do. I would say this year we probably haven't seen it as much as we have, but we have seen it. We've seen just last week, it was an immature that swooped down and caught a fish, which is great to see that. A couple of weeks ago, there was an adult that was eating a duck. And the only reason why we knew it was a duck is like he was in the tree and we saw feathers kind of floating. We didn't see him capture that duck.
Oh, goodness.
So that duck might have been injured along the side, on the shoreline, and he grabbed it. But we do get to see that fairly often.
Is that unusual that they're going for a duck?
No, that's not usually. It's not unusual. We see that fairly often. Throughout the season, we'll see that a few times.
Now, what happens when this viewing season's over? Because I know that you guys, I forget the exact date, it's in early March. You could tell us, Lucy, but after that date, what happens? Why is early March the cutoff generally for this?
So, yes, our last date for this season is going to be March 9th. And the reason for that is because we're going into breeding season. We're going into the bald eagle breeding season. And by mid-March here in Connecticut, the bald eagles should be on their nest and incubating eggs. So that means that they're not going to be at the dam. They're not going to be at Chepauk. They're going to go back to their territories, and they're going to start preparing for breeding season. Now, we might see some immatures still hanging around. So they will, when they turn 5 years old, they will seek a mate and they will start breeding. So the immatures don't necessarily have a breeding season or go to their territories because they haven't established a territory yet until they're 5 years old. So we will no longer see the bald eagles at the dam.
I forgot, in a way, how wooded northern Southbury is, where the dam is, but also surrounding areas as well. Northern Newtown, you've got Reading. Well, that's slightly in a different direction, but I mean, there's a lot of woods out there within maybe 10 to 15 miles of the dam. Are these bald eagles likely to stay in that area, or are they going to go someplace totally different? Are they going to go up to Salisbury, Lakeville? Are they going to go down to Middletown? I don't know where, but, you know, do they migrate a lot, or do they stay relatively close to where they spend their winters?
Again, you know, bald eagles tend to be a little bit on the lazy side, and they'll go as far as they need to get food during the winter. But we have in the past seen bald eagles from Massachusetts, from New Hampshire, only because we saw a colored band on them, and we know that they come from that state. So during that winter, these birds have traveled into the state in order to find fish during the winter. And then come March, they're going to head back up to their territories. And that could be upstate New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, or within Connecticut.
So in a way, they can be all over the place.
Correct.
Lazy, but all over the place. Don't you just love it? I'm Morgan Cunningham. She's Lucy Walker from the Chepauk Dam Bald Eagle Viewing Site in Southbury. Easy to find, particularly on Facebook. It's free if you want to go see it on a Wednesday, Saturday, or Sunday. You just have to reserve your spot in advance. When I was up there, Lucy, I saw a whole mix of people, all ages of all kinds, just there to experience the eagles. It was cool.
Yes. We do get lots of families that come for a great outing in the wintertime, school groups, senior groups. It's great to see everybody come out and see a bald eagle, sometimes for the very first time.
What is the eagle health in 2025? How are they doing? How's the population nationally, here in Connecticut, all of that? Give me a little rundown on how they're doing.
Great. Perfect. So, as I said, 1992, we had our first recorded pair since the 50s. And from 1992, it has been increasing steadily. As of 2023, we had 86 breeding pairs in Connecticut. So at this point in time, we're probably seeing over 90 breeding pairs in Connecticut, which means possibly fledging, two chicks each. So that could be 180 chicks being fledged in a year, which is a great number.
As far as the eagles go, nationally, they've been delisted, Lucy, as far as, you know, being endangered and all of that. In Connecticut, they're still considered threatened, though.
Yes, correct. So it is a success story. So nationally, they were delisted from the endangered species list. Connecticut has its own endangered species list, and it is still considered threatened on that list. However, most likely when they go to revisit that list, which I think should be shortly, they're probably going to be delisted from that list.
And what would that mean as far as the eagles' future, as far as their level of protection in Connecticut? Because that would be really historic. So what exactly would that mean for the general public and for viewing eagles?
So when a species is delisted, it's basically based on population as well. So their population has grown to a point where they feel like the species has recovered. But, however, for the bald eagle, they're still very much protected under the Migratory Bird Act and also under the Bald Eagle and Golden Eagle Act, meaning harassing a bald eagle is illegal. Having any part of a bald eagle, a feather, anything is also illegal. So they're very much protected under those acts still.
Yeah, the feather thing. Yeah, you don't want to forget about that. Any migratory bird, not just an eagle.
Correct. Under the Migratory Bird Act, no one is allowed to have a migratory bird feather.
I'm Morgan Cunningham at Spotlight Connecticut. We are getting ready to wrap up here with Lucy Walker from the Chepauk Dam Eagle Viewing Site. That's in Southbury, Connecticut. So if you want to take a little trip out to Western Connecticut, it's really wooded out there. You're on this road, Lucy, and you're on the highway I-84, and it's busy, and you go to the center of Southbury, and it's busy, and then you just go, and next thing you know, you're at this long river road. You see some riverfront homes, and then all of a sudden, the eagle sight. It's kind of cool. You're out there deep in the woods. You leave society relatively quickly, and there you are.
It's beautiful. We still have places like that in Connecticut.
Absolutely. How do people get in touch with you and your team and register for this free opportunity to see bald eagles in the next few weeks? Of course, weather depending.
Sure. So there's a couple ways. You can go to Facebook, and our Facebook page is Bald Eagles. Simple enough, you'll find links to our reservation page. You can also go to First Light website. First Light is the company that owns the Chepauk Dam, and they also fund this area. So you can go to firstlight.energy and find the link there as well. Or you can email us at chepaugeagles@gmail.com.
So many ways to get in touch. Lucy, I appreciate your coming on Spotlight Connecticut, and also, more importantly, for showing me and my parents around the Chepauk Dam and helping me see that one really elusive eagle that, for whatever reason, I couldn't see.
Well, thank you, Morgan. This was a lot of fun, and I hope all your listeners will get a chance to come visit us.
All right. Thank you very much, Lucy. And of course, all of this will be in our podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. Look for Spotlight Connecticut. You could also go to WTIC.com and find it there.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.